Thank you, Jenny, for that song. That is one of my favorite new songs that is out today. And you know, every time I hear it, just think how different our lives would be if we would live with that attitude. That, God, I need you every hour, because, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm guilty of trying to do it by myself. That I try to live and breathe and move and make decisions independent from God's word and his wisdom and his guidance. But how different would our lives would be if we lived in utter dependence upon God and his word and his wisdom. I think things would be a lot different in our lives. And God would have, I think, a lot more room to work in our lives with less of us in the way. Don't you agree? Amen. If you would, take your copy of God's word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you turn there, I want to call your attention. In the bulletin this morning, you should have found a little blue slip of paper. Looks like this. Hopefully you got one. If not, please get one when you leave. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing here for the next few weeks. The president of Lifeway, his name is Tom Rayner, and he wrote a book last year called I Am a Church Member. And I am taking that book for the next few weeks. I'm not preaching the book. I'm taking the scripture that he used in each chapter, and I'm preaching a series of messages based on that. And these little slips of paper are pledges that follow each chapter of that book. And so as we come to a conclusion today, I'm not going to ask you to fill it out or come place it on the altar. What I'm going to ask you to do is, as you listen to the message this morning and you hear us talk about biblical church membership, I want you to read this at the close of the service. I want you to put your name on it. I want you to sign it. That means put your name on it, and then date it, and then stick it right here at 1 Corinthians 12 in your Bible, and you'll get one of these each week. Hopefully they'll be different colors so you can keep up with them, but I want to ask you to do that. And that's just, it's sort of just a marker. You know, I have a number of Bibles. One of the Bibles that I have from when I was a teenager that I used from my teen years all the way into college, it has some markers in it. One of them's a nail that's found in the Gospels, where there's the account of Jesus on the cross. It was something that was given to me in a church service years and years and years and years and years ago. But it's a marker that reminds me. When I see that, I'm reminded of that message. I'm reminded of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm reminded of that moment in my life that made an imprint on my walk with Christ. And so I encourage you just to keep that in mind and fill that out when we're done here. Joe, if it's all right with you, we're just going to read verse 27. So if you would stand with me, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, and then we'll pray. Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time of worship. We thank you for your word. And God, as we come to your word right now, I pray that we would understand clearly what your spirit desires to teach our hearts this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help us just to, that our hearts would be in line with your heart, that we would hear your word, that there'd be no division within our soul, but that we'd be completely focused on you and what you desire to see in our lives as a result of your word this morning. Father, we thank you for our church. God, we thank you for Jesus, who is the head, the head of the church. Father, I pray for this church, the body of Christ, that we may be active, biblical members of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there is a constant conversation in the church world about whether or not church membership is important. So why is church membership important? You know, for many years, being a member of a local church was an important part of the fabric of a society, of a culture in the United States. When you move to a community, you, as a Christian, made sure that within days you were part of a local church. I remember talking to my mom recently when they were out of college, had just had my sister. They were living in El Paso, Texas, and my dad was in basic training. And she said the first thing we did was find the local Baptist church and get plugged in. She said if it hadn't been for that, we would not have survived. I mean, they're from White County, Arkansas, moving to El Paso, Texas. You know, my mom had never lived anywhere else but Arkansas. My dad, I'm not sure, had ever left the county of White County until he went to college. So, I mean, here they were. That was a part of their society. And one of the things that you could, that was good about being a Southern Baptist back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and even the 70s, it was like McDonald's. Everywhere you went, the menu was the same. Every Southern Baptist church you went to during that time had the same Sunday school literature, was on the same lesson that you would be if you were in another church, another Southern Baptist church in another town. We were carbon copies of each other, and we were trying to do the same things and do the same and support the same ministries. Well, things are a little different today. There are still some people that see how important being a part of a church is, and they are committed to it. But what happened is we had this thing called the church growth movement. And at the time, for many pastors, this seemed to be a pretty cool thing. We were focused on growing our churches. But as we look back on that, because I still think there are some that are still focused on that, but we're beginning to realize that what's more important than that is church health, not necessarily church growth. Because see, what the church growth movement did for so many is it made church membership about us and what the church did for us. You know, the big reason for this faulty thinking, and it is faulty thinking, it comes from our view that church membership is about us. But as Rainer writes in his book, he says, God did not give us local churches to become country clubs where membership means we have privileges and perks. He placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases to die for the sake of the gospel. So many churches are weak because we have members who have turned the meaning of membership upside down. And he says it's time that we get it right. Now, I'm familiar with a church. I'm not going to say where it is or the name of it or anything about it, but I'm familiar with a church who boast in their promotional material that their church is a fellowship, not a membership. Now, you know, that sounds kind of cool. We're a fellowship. We're not a membership. Sounds like, you know, we can just kind of slide in. We're just part of fellowship. We're just here to hang out. We're going to drink a little coffee, eat a few donuts. Amen. Yeah, fellowship is part of church life, but that's not why we're here. It's not the sole reason we're here. You know, do you know why we gather today, folks? You know why? Whether you realize it or not, do you know why you're here? You're here because of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ has done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for the church. You see, church membership, biblical church membership, I'll just tell you right up front, biblical church membership is about giving rather than receiving. Biblical church membership is about serving rather than being served. Biblical church membership is about responsibility, not about rights. Biblical church membership is about sacrifices rather than entitlements. And it's time that we understand what biblical membership is, and it's time that we strive to follow God's definition of what it means to be a member of His church, the body of Christ. The first thing I want you to see this morning, we're going to look at verses 12 through 13, and what I want you to see from these verses is that biblical church membership means we are important parts of something bigger than ourselves. Look at verses 12 through 13 with me. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So what I want you to understand is that biblical church membership means that we are important parts of something bigger than ourselves. See, if we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, in other words, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we need to be part of His church. And if we're part of His church, we are part of the body of Christ. That's what this is. Yes, if you go out, if you look on the windows or go out, look on the vans or on the sign out front, it says Wooster First Baptist Church. That is our name. But what we're about is Jesus. See, we are a diverse bunch, aren't we? Just look around. Look around for a second. We are a diverse bunch of people, aren't we? We look different. Our hair's fixed different. We're from different backgrounds. We live in different homes, different parts of the community. We think different. We act different. We have different jobs. We've been skilled and gifted in different ways. But one thing we do have in common is that we're all sinners. We're a diverse bunch of sinners who are saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And we've come together. We've been gifted by God, by His Spirit, to form the body of Christ, which Jesus Christ is the head. We cannot separate Christ from His church any more than we can separate our body from our heads, can we? It goes together. It's how God's designed it. And when Christ is referred to as the head, that means that He is the mind, spirit, and control of the body. He's in charge. And our membership in the body of Christ, His church, is all about our bond in Christ. Yes, we are different. Yes, we have a diversity of gifts. And we view things differently, but we're here because of Jesus Christ. Think about it. I was reading something this week, and it was kind of interesting. This pastor talked about, think about for a moment, if you were from a foreign country, and you came to spend a week with some Christians in the States. He said, and you come to church, and they come in, they just barely get here, and they sing a few songs, and they hear a sermon, and then they leave, and what they're talking about as you intermingle with them during times of conversation is that their conversation is directed towards things that happened on Saturday and the week before. They're really not talking about what's going on Sunday morning. And he talked about how, you know, we get so excited, and we get to football games early. We get to events early. We spend bukus of dollars and bukus of energy and time preparing for events to cheer on people we may or may not know. But then we can't get to church on time. We don't put forth any effort to be engaged in the process and the worship that goes on. And when we leave, we don't think anything else about it until we're back maybe the next Sunday. See, biblical church membership realizes that this is about something bigger than us. This is about Jesus Christ, and there is no bigger person than Jesus Christ. And there is no bigger example of love and passion and need than what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. You know, think about it. You know, I loved watching the Razorback basketball game yesterday. I'll be honest with you. It was nice to see them finally win a basketball game somewhere besides the state of Arkansas. And there were glimpses of what those of us who remember 1994, there were glimpses of what we saw, maybe for just 30 seconds, but there were glimpses of that. But God forgive us for being more excited about basketball games and football games and baseball games than about what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm sorry, I love to watch Michael Qualls jump and dunk the basketball. Very jealous of that. But Michael Qualls did not die on the cross for my sins. I mean, let's get real, folks. We, again, have gotten our priorities so warped and out of place. Our membership in the body of Christ, His church, is all about our bond in Christ. It's not about a bounty of ministries or programs, because, folks, those come and go. But what sustains, what lasts, what's everlasting, what's eternal is Jesus Christ. and what He's done for us. That's where our focus and our passion and our time and our energy and our money and our priorities, that's where they need to begin, is with Him. See, when we focus on the church, we should focus on Christ, and all other things need to be pushed to the periphery. We're focusing on Christ, His church. And Paul talks about there in verse 13 that for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. See, all believers in Jesus Christ, we have this same Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ that lives within us. And we receive that Spirit at our conversion. And Paul calls it here that we're baptized by the Spirit, or we have one Spirit to drink. And it identifies the fact that we are in Christ. And guess what? Christ is in us. So as we gather this morning, if we know Jesus Christ personally, we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we have His Spirit, we have this oneness about us that is bigger than anything this world might have to offer. So we cannot forget that the same Spirit, if we were to go back, had the time to read the first 10 verses, where it talks about the diversity of gifts and how God has gifted different people in the church for different things, we would see that the Spirit of Christ is at the center of all of that gifting process. See, when God gives us gifts, and you understand, we're talking about that, we're not talking about presents like an iPod or an iPad or a shotgun or something like that. It's not talking about those kind of gifts, physical gifts. We're talking about spiritual gifts. Gifts that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you for what? For the common good. You know what that means? It means to be used in the church and through the church. God wants to work in you through His church to further His kingdom. And His Spirit has gifted you that way. See, these God-given gifts yielded to God, guided by the Spirit, will fuel unity in the church, it will fuel passion, and it will increase the health of our church as we use our gifts as God's given us. So, biblical church membership is bigger, I think, than what we may perceive it to be. It's bigger than us because it's about Jesus. The foundation of biblical church membership is Christ, Jesus. And all that He is and all that He has done, and the unity or the glue of our church membership, of our fellowship together, the body of Christ, is the Spirit of Christ. And folks, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. The second thing I want you to see from this is that biblical church membership means our differences are all part of God's great design and purpose. Can I just tell y'all something? I'm thankful you aren't all like me. Aren't you glad that you're not like me? Aren't you glad that we're not all the same? What's that old phrase? Variety is the spice of life. Isn't something like that? You know, there's a reason that we're a diverse group of people. You don't know why? It's the way God designed it. It's God's purpose. Look at verses 14 through 17. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. It's not about just one member. It's about many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. You know, Paul takes, you know, think about your physical body. You know, if your hand could talk, and he got jealous, he said, you know, I wish I was an eye, because the eye can see things, you know, it's cooler. I get tired of just touching stuff and cutting my finger and my skin being dry and all that stuff. I'd rather be an eye. I don't want to be part of this body because I can't be an eye. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Your hands are important parts of your body, are they not? I mean, God has designed your body a certain way to have certain features and appendages for a purpose. Certain organs for a purpose. Miles and miles of blood vessels for a purpose. A heart, lungs, all these things, they're there for a purpose. And God has placed all of us in His church, guess what? For a purpose. But the key verse is verse 18. Look at what it says there. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. our unity as a body is important because we've been placed together just as God wants us to be. That's a neat thing. He's painted this picture of Wooster First Baptist Church, and you're part of it, and you're here because God wants you to be. And folks, this is why it's so important for us to pray about where God is leading us to be part of a church. If you're here this morning and you've been searching, you know, searching about being part of a church, well, God has a church for you. He doesn't want you to be a Lone Ranger Christian trying to do it on your own. He has a place for you. That's why you'll hear us say, please, if you're searching, pray about it. And if this is where God has led you, then this is where you need to be. See, God has a plan for you in His church somewhere. And it's best for everyone involved that you follow His plan. Amen? I mean, if this is not where God wants you, then you need to be somewhere else where God wants you. You know, there are some preachers you might hear that they're just concerned about building up their kingdom and getting as many people in the doors as they can. I'm not like that. I'm more about building God's kingdom. And it's better for me and you if you're where God wants you to be. And if that's at Wooster First Baptist Church, praise the Lord. If that's at some other church, praise the Lord, because you're where God wants you. As the body of Christ, we've been brought together and empowered by His Spirit. Look at verses 19 through 20. It says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? If we were all hands, where would everything else be? Makes the Bible, you know, think about it. If you were just a hand. You ever thought about that? If you were just a hand, there'd be a lot of things in life that'd be difficult for you, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to drive if you were just a hand, wouldn't it? Wouldn't get anywhere. He says, but now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. See, this, God has created us to function as a unified whole, and every part is important because they are part of the whole. We are important because God has put us here. We are part of this whole, and we are here for a reason, just as God had purposed it. And all the believers in the body of Christ known as Wooster First Baptist Church have been placed right where God wants them to be so that we will be unified, so that we'll serve effectively together and as we proclaim the gospel, and that as one we will glorify the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. He goes on there, he says, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Who here is a less presentable member? Anybody want to claim that one? I'm just curious. Whereas our more presentable members have no need for it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Look at this. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This goes to encourage us and challenge us in how we relate to one another as part of the body, as being purposed the way God wants us to be here. You know, the next chapter is 1 Corinthians 13, and many will call this the love chapter, and we use it to talk about relationships with our wives or our girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. But if you look at verse or chapter 13 in the context of what's going on here, is this is verse 13, and it's talk about love being patient and kind and all those things that it lists about love. It's in the context of church relationships. It's not about romance. It's about the relationship that you and I have together. There's a certain way that we're to interact with one another. I think verse 26 talks about if one of you suffers, we suffer with you. If one of you rejoices, we rejoice with you. That's important for us. You know, we have this obligation and responsibility to each other to suffer and rejoice when it's time to suffer and time to rejoice. And we do it out of the love that's been shown to us. We show love to others. But the bottom line is this, we are an important body with many parts. Why? Because God made us that way. One other thing I want you to see this morning is that biblical church membership is an active membership. An active membership. Biblical church membership in the body of Christ, it begins when we give our life to Jesus Christ. We're baptized and we become part of His local church. That's when it begins. And as followers of Christ, if we truly know Jesus, we have a relationship with Him, then we should be an active part of this body. Not inactive or sort of active, but active. If it is here as part of the body of Christ that we're focused on Christ, that we're fueled by the Spirit to bring glory to God and point people to Jesus Christ, we're to be an active part of that process. And folks, you've got to be here to be part of that process. You know, as you look down, think about years and years from now. You can think as far as you want to on this, but just years and years and years from now, when you look back on the church, think about it. Now, there will be specific things that generations of churches will be known for. You know, we just talked about already the beginning about how the 70s, 80s, and 90s were known for this church growth movement where we were focused on getting as many people here and taking care of their needs. And we lost a little bit of our view of the kingdom as we focused on our kingdom. But as you look down, as we look back on generations of the church, there'll be some things that the church is, good things that the church is known for. But the most glaring characteristic, I think, of this current generation is how consumerism has dictated so much of what we do and so much of what we look for in a church. Now, I want to caution all of you. Too often, we comparison shop churches like we shop for products. It might be groceries, it might be insurance, it might be a car, it might be a chainsaw. Who knows? What is it when we're looking to buy something? We want the best product with the least amount of what? Skin, money. We want the best product with the least amount of commitment on our part. Folks, that's not how you look for a church. You don't look for a church with the most product with the least amount of responsibility. You look for a church of, for number one, God, I know that your word says I need to be part of a local church. I need to be an active part of a local church. Where do you want me to be and to serve and to grow? That's how you do it. Now, too many times we get into this consumer mentality where we want that return with the least commitment. But church is about Christ and the God who has led us here more than about what the church does for us. The bottom line is this. If this is where God has led us, this is where God wants us, and He has a plan and purpose for us to be here. Therefore, we need to get busy following His plan to be an active part of what God wants to do. And once we are part of the local body that God has led us to, then we need to make it a priority to be a healthy and active part of it by focusing on Christ, by tapping into the power that He has given us to exercise the gifts that He has blessed us with so that we can contribute to the health of His church. This is how we follow the pattern of biblical membership. We remember that it's about Him and about what He has done for us first and foremost. It's about membership. It's not just a fellowship. It's not just a gathering. It's more than that. It's about being a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And that's a big deal. As I said earlier, biblical church membership in the body of Christ begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. Verse 27 says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." If you've never given your life to Christ, but you realize your need for Jesus because of what He's done for you. See, we're all sinners. Remember, we talked about that a while ago. And we need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. And the reason he had to come as our Savior and to die on the cross for our sins is, see, there's nothing we can do to overcome that sin. And the sin is important because it separates us from God, the Father. So Jesus took the place of your sin and my sin, paid the price for it, the price that we owe but could not pay, so that we might have a relationship with the Father and eternal life with Him. That's a big deal. So maybe this morning your response to God's Word and what God's leading you to do this morning is to give your life to Christ for the first time. Now, if you are a member of this local body of Christ, I have a question for you. Is your level of commitment to the health and life of this body contributing to its death or to its life? If the level of health of our church was determined by your level of commitment as an active member, just how healthy would our church be? Think about that. I've said since day one as your pastor that we're only as strong as each individual member. Together we can be the most healthy, active church that God possibly wants us to be. But it's only if we all are seeking to grow in our relationship with Him. We're all seeking to be active in our biblical membership of His church. So maybe the challenge to you this morning is to recommit yourself to being the member of God's body that God wants you to be. But if you're not a member of this body of Christ and God is leading you to become one, my question is, what are you waiting for? If this is where God's led you, then this is where you need to be. Will you bow with me, please?